Thank you, Steve. Good morning, friends. The scripture reading for this morning is a New Testament reading. It's on page 329 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles, so it's in the back, page 329. And it's from the first letter of John, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And after I read it, we'll let Harper go downstairs if she wishes with Sarah. First letter of John, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This morning I want to tell you a few things about Vacation Bible School, which we just finished this week, this past Friday. And a couple of you were there with me, so I hope that this won't just be a replay. Most of you know that preparing for this has occupied most of my time for the past several weeks. And I'm tired, but it was definitely worth it. Some of you know that this particular opportunity came about in connection with this year's Friends United Meeting Summer Missions Project. Every summer, as most of you know, FUM, which is the larger Friends organization that we're a part of, raises money for some project in one of their missions areas, whether that's in East Africa or Palestine or the Caribbean. And if you've read their recent newsletters that sometimes come in the bulletin, you know that this summer's project is called Power for Pastors, with the goal of helping Friends Theological College in Kaimosi, Kenya, which is where most of the pastoral ministers in East Africa are trained, helping them to add solar power to their library and other buildings so that they can have a more reliable source of electricity, especially after dark. The grid in Kenya is not very dependable. When I was there in 2012, I was there for just about 8 days, but there were multiple times during the day and at night when the power would just go donk, and it might be dark for a few seconds or it might be dark for quite a while. So solar power for Friends Theological College in Kaimosi, Kenya is the goal of this fundraising project this summer. And it turned out that there is a Vacation Bible School curriculum put out by a particular synod of the Presbyterian Church USA, a particular group of churches in the Great Plains states, Texas and Oklahoma and elsewhere, that is called Solar Under the Sun, and it deals specifically with solar energy and promoting solar power in the developing world, because that's also part of the missions emphasis of the Presbyterian Church USA. So it seemed like a good opportunity to help the kids learn more about the missions project than we usually do in a typical summer. And also to combine it with some resources that would reinforce that learning. And as a first-time VBS leader, it was really important for me to have a pre-made curriculum that I could lean on rather than having to try and figure it out all myself. If you're going to teach about solar energy in a church context, the obvious focus should be on light, right? I mean, that's the first place that you go, is light. And so each day the scripture that we learned and the songs that we sang had something to do with light, the light of God, letting our light shine, God turning darkness into light, all of these various ways that we see light reflected, if you will, in the scriptures. And that's why we read these few short verses from the first letter of John a few moments ago. The writer's conviction that God is light and that we must walk in that light. This actually wasn't one of the passages that we learned this week, but one of the most popular songs is based on it. And the chorus goes, oh, walk, 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 walk in the light. Oh, walk, 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 walk in the light, etc. There's a lot of repetition, a lot of walking. And there's a strong beat to it. So as you might guess, there was a lot of marching around the fellowship hall. The second day that we sang it, I made them come down here so that we wouldn't be pounding on the floor and bothering the preschoolers downstairs. So walk, 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 walk in the light got me thinking about this passage from 1 John. And the letters of 1 John are challenging, no question. These are perhaps some of the most challenging epistles in the New Testament. Not that there's a non-challenging epistle in the New Testament, but John sets the bar very high for us. There's this stark binary language of light and darkness. You can't say you're walking with God if you're walking in the darkness. It's one or the other. It's on or off, right? God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. I have no problem with that. That makes sense. God is light, absolutely. That's a core Quaker conviction, right? But what does it mean for us? That's where things get tricky. If we are to walk in that light, what do we do with this little bit of darkness over here or over there, that somewhere in a corner of our heart that we haven't quite submitted to God's light yet? What do we do with that darkness? I believe that this passage is best understood as a more and more kind of thing. We do not have to be perfect before we can walk in the light. If we are, then we will never do it. We will never get there. As we walk in the light more and more, we will be more and more transformed into the image of God. We will better and better be able to recognize God's light and discern it from darkness. We will be more and more transformed, and the darkness will be less and less. So if a stop comes in your mind when you read these words and you think, well, I can't walk in the light if I'm angry at my brother or if I messed up this thing in this relationship over here, don't let that be an obstacle. Seek to walk in the light and then see that the darkness becomes less and less. It's a challenge, there's no question. But also, there are some things about walking, and I think part of the reason that John chooses this metaphor, part of the reason that he uses this phrase is that it comes up in the Hebrew Bible again and again. Someone who walks with God, like Abraham, is seen as a righteous person, right? Walking in the way of God is following after God. But also, one of the reasons that walking is such an important image for us is that almost everyone does it. We almost all of us know what walking is. It's something that we can all relate to. It's like eating. It's something that almost all of us do or have done, even if we're no longer able to do it so well. It's a regular, mundane thing, but not mundane in a bad way. Part of the good news is that it's not an Olympic sport for a chosen few, right? I mean, there is speed walking in the Olympics, but most of us don't do that. Most of us simply ambulate because that's how we get around. So just as most of us know what it is to walk physically, we are each of us capable of walking in the light. It's something that everyone who is called to follow Christ should be able to do, should be trying to do. It also implies activity and effort. Just as in our physical lives, we have to move in our spiritual lives. We have to get off the metaphorical couch to walk. And just like overcoming inertia when we walk physically, walking in the light requires overcoming spiritual inertia. Darkness, sin, however you want to name that. And John reminds us that it is Christ's forgiveness that gives us the overcoming power. It is not something that we have to accomplish in and of ourselves. It is Christ's forgiveness that truly allows us to overcome that inertia, that darkness, that sin. Finally, walking means we're going somewhere. We have a destination. I mean, sometimes I just go walk around the block because I need to move and get out of the office. But we all have a destination when we're walking in the light. The kingdom of God. That kingdom, that reign of God, which is come and coming, which is among us, within us, and yet to be. That is our destination when we walk in the light. Just a couple of stories from Vacation Bible School this week. The first thing that amazed me was how much each kid already knew about various things. When I planned out what we were going to cover in each unit of time and how we were going to approach things, assumed, well, I'm going to need at least 15 minutes to explain to the kids what solar panels are, right? And then Cassidy, who is one of the youngest ones in the group, raises her hand and in one sentence basically says, solar panels take light from the sun and they turn it into power. Okay, I don't need to spend that 15 minutes if the youngest kid in the group already understands it. And there were several times during the course of the week when that happened with various things. Sometimes they were spiritual truths, sometimes they were more scientific or worldly kinds of things. But I was amazed continually at how much they already knew. And although I see these kids at least once a month in Sunday school and at other times as well, but I spend a good hour with them on Sunday mornings once a month, I'm afraid I have them frozen in my mind as being a certain age and at a certain level of development. I've sort of forgotten that they grow and they get smarter every year. In some of the cases, scary smarter every year. So one of the things that I learned was I need to update my mental picture regularly of where these kids are and what they know and what they're capable of. So that was a real blessing to learn that. One thing that I was really worried about, as the only person really that had seen this curriculum that came from the Presbyterians, was how many of the activities assumed that we would be outside with a ready supply of sunshine. Remember, we're doing this in the morning in Berkeley, in the summer. So things like shadow tracing or making sundials, you know, if you're in Oklahoma and Texas, you can assume that you're going to have hot, sunny weather all day long, right? Otherwise, there's going to be... If you don't have that, you're going to have a big thunderstorm and it's over in 10 minutes. So given our foggy summer mornings, I was anxious about whether we were going to be able to do some of these things and have them work the way they were supposed to work. Some of the activities I just nixed from the outset, like, you know, building a solar stove. I'm pretty sure that wasn't going to work, so we didn't even try that one. So one morning when the fog was still sticking around, it was still fairly cloudy, the backup activity was sidewalk chalking. And in my mind, you know, again, I'm the only one that's seen the curriculum, right? This was second best. This was sort of, oh, well, if we can't do the thing that we're supposed to do, there's always sidewalk art. But the kids didn't know that. So all I had to do was suggest that we try it, and they were ready, right? Sidewalk chalking, yes! Full steam ahead, let's go. It didn't matter to them that I had originally had something else in my head for that time slot, right? Plenty of sidewalk, plenty of chalk. Why stand around worrying about what else you could be doing? Let's just go do it. So that was great. And the only other direction that I needed to give them was to ask what messages they might want to give to someone who needed encouragement or welcome. And they had some great ideas right off the bat, and so we went out and did them. If you haven't seen them, most of the results of their labors are still visible, if not legible, on the Sacramento Street sidewalk, right out here, just this other side of this wall on the sidewalk. So take a moment after worship to step outside, or before you get into your car when you're going home, and just take a look at those messages. In case you can't read them any longer, some of them say, "Hope is a light." That was the name of one of the songs that we sang every day. Hope is a light. Peace, joy, hope, and love. That shows up several times. Let the light shine in you today. And Sebastian, who was here this morning but had to go home because his mom is ill, mapped out a long line down the center of the pavement that he called the Path of Hope. And he wrote along it various encouraging messages. Don't get too disappointed. Hard times will end. You can do it. Good times will come. So that was one of Sebastian's contributions. When we adults try and figure out what we're going to say to people who might come through our doors on a certain day, people who might need healing, people for whom the darkness prevails, people who are hurting in some way, it usually takes us a lot longer with a lot more agonizing over words than what these kids were able to do. There was no committee process for this activity. There was simply a spontaneous offering from each child of welcome, of hope, and of encouragement. That spontaneity is one of the gifts of this past week that I would like to hold on to as time rolls along. It was a great week, but not without a few bumps. There were some other activities where it took us a while to get a good outcome. There were little quarrels. There were misunderstandings, as there always are. And so I don't want to simply represent this as kids know how to walk in the light and we don't, because that's not true. Kids need to learn how to walk in the light just as much as we do. There was one game that we had a lot of trouble with. It was a deceptively simple balloon game. The idea was you start with your own balloon and all you're trying to do is keep it up off the floor, keep it in the air, right? But then you get a partner and the two of you have to keep both balloons in the air at the same time. And you make the group larger and larger each time until you're all trying to keep all the balloons in the air by passing them to one another. It was really difficult to get all of the kids to work together. Giuseppe was there that day, and he and Sarah and I had to stop multiple times and try to explain it again. No, this is about cooperation. You guys need to work together. We weren't entirely successful. If your partner doesn't want to pass the balloon or doesn't pass it in the right rhythm, or they push it too hard, or they put it out of your reach, that gets really frustrating. We tried it various ways, but the best result came when we reduced the number of balloons to half the number of people and sort of started every other person had a balloon and you would pass it around the circle. This was actually one of the kids' suggestion, and it worked fairly well. So it was interesting to see how it took us all a while to get around to a solution that would work, but it came from one of the kids. Our passage says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That fellowship is not complete unless we are each walking in the light of Christ. The fellowship that we have here requires that we all be walking. In other words, community is hard work. It doesn't happen automatically, and it takes continual commitment and recommitment. If the group can't keep the balloons in the air, the easiest thing for me to do is quit. I'm going to go off in the corner with my balloon and never mind what they're doing. But if I'm really committed to being part of the body of Christ, I need to submit myself once again, again and again, to Christ's inward direction and lay aside my own agenda. Turning towards Christ within myself, I then turn towards others, seeking to renew that fellowship and get the balloons back in the air. Collaboration and group effort really was key to making this Vacation Bible School happen, and I want to thank everyone that did something that helped. Some of you were there throughout one of the program days. Some of you helped to provide supplies. Some of you did other little things around the edges that really, really made it a lot easier. So that's part of that community. We can't do things like this without community. One last thought. It has to do with letting our light shine. Surely if we walk in the light, we also are letting our light shine. There's a connection between John's first letter and what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount about letting our light shine before others so that they will see our good works and glorify God in heaven. And the illustration for letting our light shine was glow sticks. It's not quite as fun for me to talk about VBS without giving you a little bit of VBS here. So everybody gets a glow stick. Pass them around. Thank you. Steve, you got one. Gene needs one too. Do you need one? Okay. There should be plenty. So for the kids, when I handed these out, this was simply a reminder to let their light shine, because we had been talking about that several days that week. And for them, on that last morning, I asked them if there was any situation in which they had difficulty letting their light shine. Perhaps with a particular person, or when they're feeling a certain way. And then we prayed for each of the needs that they had expressed. For us, I think there's a little bit more in the glow stick as spiritual metaphor. The glow stick is not useful or fun, certainly. It's not fun at all, nor is it useful until it has been broken. You have to break some barriers that make that mysterious phosphorescent stuff come alive inside the tube. And you might have to break it in several different places. In order for a glow stick to shine, it needs to be bent, and those little barriers inside it broken. So also for us. In order for us to let our light truly shine, God needs to break some things within us. Resistance. Inertia. Are you okay? Okay. In order for us to let our light shine truly, God needs to break some things within us. Not bend us so far that we break completely. For God is not a God of brokenness. But there are at times things that keep us from God within us, things that resist God within us. And those things need to be moved out of the way in order for light to shine. The good news, of course, is that we have a much longer lifespan than a glow stick, and that we can shine again and again as we return to the source of all power and light, the one in whom there is no darkness at all, the one in whom we must walk.